is Movie Hopping. That's Adam Hall. This is Nico DiGregorio. It's our new web show where we talk about movies in incredibly nerdy fashion. Adam Hall!
How are you today, sir?
I'm a little tight.
We're a little
snug here.
We are swallowing all of our masculinity.
Yes.
We're gulping it down like a big gulp.
A very big gulp right now. This is not right.
It's clogging up my throat a bit. How much I have to swallow my pride, throw away my homophobia, which is rapid.
Yes.
It is intense homophobia.
As is mine, Nico. I understand.
You know, I do not like being close to other men.
No. Men are horrible. Men are disgusting.
They really are.
I find them repulsive. What's Jerry's line?
From Seinfeld?
Yeah. When Elaine asks him, like, you can't find attraction in a man, he's like, no, I find them repulsive and unappealing or something
like that. No, really, they are. No, yeah. They're like cavemen. And why women would ever find, well, not us, but why women would ever find men in general attractive makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I have no idea.
And being close to you right now, I'm swallowing my pride again for the good of this here YouTube series, a.k.a. podcast, a.k.a. whatever this is. This is a new member, the newest edition, a newborn baby, if you will.
Look at my shaved face, by the way.
Yeah.
I just look... I'm 22, by the way.
Yeah. No, you're not.
I'm fucking 22.
Yeah, don't start this with a lie. Don't start this new exploration lying to the good people of the internet.
I swear I'm not lying here. I'm 22 years old. I like doing that.
I just realized this. I don't know anyone with more of a baby face than you. And most people, probably yourself, doesn't know anybody with more of a baby face than me.
No.
So I realize now if people are flipping through this looking for a review of the newest Alien film, they're going to ask themselves, why are there two 12-year-olds on my screen right now? And what a nice setup.
Sure.
You know, their allowance must have, either they're a trust fund kid or or their allowance is through the roof this month.
Is that what it is?
That is what it is.
Is that are those the type of people that are going to be talking about the newest Alien film too?
Might be. Well, certainly those that enjoyed it, Adam. Certainly those that enjoyed it.
We'll talk about that.
This is the newest member of the Too Many Thoughts family. It's our new online endeavor. You, myself, Nicholas Evangelista, Zach Caponegro, and a bunch of other friends have come together for this new website. It's a new series that we're debuting this week. And the goal of it, and we're not really sure what it is yet. I mean,
it's forming.
Things change. Yeah. Yes. We're blossoming into a butterfly, much like Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs. You know, we're really trying to figure ourselves out.
As you say that in your cold, dark basement.
Yes. Here. Yeah.
Yes.
I got some lotion on the side, and I have a lot of rope to stick this penis underneath my legs. I'm really exploring every crevice of my body, Adam.
I didn't say it.
Again, we don't know what exactly this is going to be yet. The goal is, I guess, to talk about new movies, hopefully when they come out or within a decent statute of limitations on this.
Hopefully.
You know what I mean? I mean, we're a couple weeks out from Alien. But we're going to talk about new movies. Hopefully a lot of good ones. Maybe a lot of bad ones along the way. We have had film conversations in the past on several other shows, and it has gone quite swimmingly.
Yes.
And I'm very excited now to do it for the viewing public and at very close proximity to you, sir.
A little too close.
Yes.
A little too close. We got to do something about this in the future.
And hopefully. It's especially awkward because I am not wearing pants. And I probably should have warned you ahead of time on that. Alien Covenant. It's a film. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, that's right. It's a film directed by the great Ridley Scott at the age of 79.
No need to add adjectives.
Oh, yeah, well.
No need to add epithets to this whole shindig.
I can't say Ridley Scott's great. Sir Ridley Scott.
You can say Ridley Scott.
Two films in the National Film Registry.
He's a director.
That's true.
He's made movies.
He's made a lot of them. Very much a director.
A prolific director. Yes. Makes a lot of movies these days.
Oh, yeah.
Made The Great Counselor. made the even better Robin Hood. made Prometheus, of course, which I'm sure we'll be talking about a little bit later. How could I forget? Exodus: Gods and Kings.
What is that?
It's another one he made. It's about Moses, parting the Red Sea.
Is that
he goes like this, and there's a pathway cleared for him.
Oh.
But for some reason, there's only white people, even though they're Egyptian. It's Exodus, Gods and Kings, Gods and Kings. Don't know why there's multiple gods. In the Bible, there's only one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Well.
But they're leaving for sure.
Is it a science fiction film?
yeah. Feels like it at times. I don't want to bury the lead too much here, but if you can sort of parse together what I'm saying, not a fan of modern day Ridley Scott, not a fan of late period Ridley Scott, shall I say. And I don't know how you feel about that.
I get into conversations about Ridley Scott quite frequently with a bunch of my fellow film nerds. And I mean, I love Ridley Scott by virtue of the fact that he's made, you know, two of my favorite films of all time being Alien and Blade Runner. Mm-hmm. But it's funny how inconsistent of a director he is in terms of quality. You know, I heard a great quote describing Ridley Scott as a director, and they said that Ridley Scott is only a great director if he has the right material to work with. Otherwise, he can't do a thing.
Right.
And I don't know if that's entirely too true. That might be a little hyperbolic, but late period Ridley Scott, I don't know. I'm almost starting to lean towards that.
In fairness, most people with bad scripts don't make good movies. I mean, generally, and it's an underrated part of filmmaking, but the screenwriter really gets no credit for what their contributions are to what's on screen. And it's very hard to make a movie with a bad script, a good movie with a bad script.
Yes. Unless it's The Game.
That
we've talked about this before.
Excellent point. Or, you know what's another one like that? 1 Hour Photo.
I love 1 Hour Photo.
1 Hour Photo is a great movie with a horrible script.
I can agree to that.
You know what I mean? Yes. It's a great performance. Visually, it's haunting and it's pretty gorgeous.
Yeah.
But you can tell not much on the page.
No.
Anywho.
Yes.
The thing about Ridley Scott and the reason why I think someone would say something like that is because he doesn't really have that distinctive a directorial style, which is weird because he's been around for so long and he has done a lot with iconic imagery.
Yeah.
And a lot, I mean, from Alien to Blade Runner to even Gladiator, there are so many sort of iconic shots and symbolism is a prominent part of his work.
Yeah.
Not really. There is no rhyme or reason, in my opinion, from what I've seen, to any of his visual palettes. Which is cool. I mean, that's versatility. That's sort of what filmmaking is about, and that helps you have a long career. I never feel like, however, when I'm watching a Ridley Scott movie, that wow, that is so Ridley Scott. Does he have any of those tropes? Does he have any of like those sort of signature stylistic choices?
When I guess when I identify a Ridley Scott film, I don't know, to me it has more to do with the content in the films. Like, he's drawn to certain subject matters, which is very obvious. He really likes characters that just say fuck everything.
Yes.
I'm gonna do whatever I want. I'm everything that I know and hold dear, I have to throw it all out just to accomplish my goals. I mean, you see that in like Thelma Louise, Blade Runner with Roy Batty. You see that in Gladiator is like kind of the quintessential example of that, his most recent films. And Robin Hood.
Sure. To a certain extent, sure.
Yeah, he really, really likes that. And then Exodus, Gods, and Kings. There's another one.
Moses.
Yeah, and Prometheus.
The OG rebel. The OG Thelma and Louise. Who would have thought? You just drew the line between Thelma and Louise and Moses.
Yes.
Wow, some real biblical shit going on.
That's how much of a nerd I am. but even then, there's even Prometheus too with David, who basically says, "Yeah, no, I gotta cut it all out to you know, do what I want to do," which is interesting.
And we'll talk a lot more about David as this show goes along.
Yeah.
Let's get into Alien Covenant.
Yes. Let's do that.
Here's all I'll say, and then I'll let you take the lead on this.
Okay.
Because I don't have much.
I am an Alien fan. Yes. By the way,
your favorite movie. Alien.
For the sake of this right now, sure, to give some context of how much I like it.
What does that mean?
I generally don't say. Here's how I'll put it.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Why do you hate it when I do this?
Fast forward 30 seconds, people.
No.
Adam's got a disclaimer.
When I say that I don't really have a favorite, it's really hard for me to pick, but my feelings towards Alien are quite strong, and usually, to give some context on it, when people ask me, what are your top five, and I'm like, well, I don't really know, but all I can tell you is that Alien gets into that top five every single time.
Right.
That's
right.
How much I like
There's
it.
There's no variation of that list that doesn't have him in the top five.
Yes, exactly.
Got you. Okay. Here's all I'll say about Alien. You're an Alien super fan.
Yeah.
You are clearly very interested in this universe,
mm-hmm.
and what it seems like, from what I've gathered so far, is you are very interested in what Ridley Scott has to say about this universe. Is that a fair...
I'm interested.
Right. Certainly interested. Whether or not you feel satisfied by that experience is a different thing. I'm not interested in that. I am fundamentally not interested in any of the questions that either Prometheus or Alien Covenant has to ask.
Okay.
I am not interested. And whatever answers we get to those questions, I am even less interested in. Here's what I care about.
Yep.
I care about people going into outer space. I care about them making stupid decisions that seem to get stupider and stupider with each new fucking installation in this franchise. And I care about these people dying one by one until there's a final girl left at the end of the day. And as far as I am concerned, Alien Covenant did an effective job of accomplishing that mission. I had a really great time watching Alien Covenant. That violence was awesome. I loved all the xenomorphs. I love how the xenomorphs killed people. The visual style was amazing. I thought it was in many ways a throwback to the, you know, the original H.R. Geiger. Is he still involved in the production design, by the way?
He's dead.
He's dead. Okay. H.R. Geiger's dead. Good.
He died very recently, though.
So. Okay. Okay. Thank you for clarifying. I thought it was very true to the original production design. I thought it was scary. It was way over the top in terms of violence, but I'm a sucker for that sometimes.
That's what I'm
right. And I know you are as well. And I really had a great time watching these aliens kill people. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have much more to add other than that. And if you... I'll let you take the lead on this, but are you interested in any of the sort of larger world-building elements of Alien Covenant?
I was more interested in what they were doing with Prometheus.
Oh, God.
I was far more interested with that backstory than anything else. I really was.
Oh, no.
No. Here's... Okay, the Alien universe is interesting. I should say, because, you know, I'm it's kind of fascinating that Ridley Scott wants to explore this as in as much detail as he's, I guess, what he's doing right now. But, yeah, no, the Alien movies were not as concerned with establishing a universe so much, not in the sense that, like, Star Wars or Star Trek does. I mean, you can look at, like, comic books and games and a few novels, but really in the context of the films... There wasn't really a big universe. It's the only real through line between those first four movies is like Ripley and the alien, and that's about it. They don't really bother to go into that much more depth with the larger implications of these creatures. It's,
right.
You know, it's they're just thematically makes sense for what the movie is about.
Sure.
And that's about it.
Sure.
And it's all the better because of that. But
there is an element of filmmaking that has been lost along the way, and that's called mystery.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like mystery is really a part of franchise filmmaking anymore.
And that's the thing I'm most ambivalent towards with this new series. It's like, yeah, I do. I am kind of interested in what the purpose of the space jockeys are. But then I'm like, then that kind of ruins a little bit of the ambiguity in Alien.
Sure.
In the you know, chilling mysteries that I've built up in my mind. And that's a further criticism I'll talk about later when we get to plot details. But, yeah, and the same thing kind of goes with the alien. It's like, well, I had this idea for what the aliens could be and where they could have come from, and now I don't really have that.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like my imagination was much better than what I was given.
Sure.
So when you were talking about are you satisfied with the directions they're taking, I don't know yet.
I have a term for it.
Yeah.
Are you ready? I'm going to call it midichlorian syndrome. That's what this is.
Yeah.
Okay. Midichlorians, of course, for the non-virgins in the
audience. I never liked midichlorians.
Midichlorians are the how George Lucas decided to explain what the Force was in Episode 1 of Star Wars, the first prequel.
Yeah.
Essentially, that rather than the Force just sort of being this omnipresent, mystical, mysterious thing. He decided to science it away and do some, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson shit, right? And a lot of times, the problem with prequels and the problem with this larger world-building thing that Ridley Scott is attempting here, although I don't doubt his sincerity and his interest in making these movies, these questions have a tendency of being pointless questions, or those that if they are answered, you are the worse for it. Right?
Yeah.
These are questions that I just don't have any interest in seeing answered. And this not only goes for you know, something as small as, say, the midichlorians in Star Wars, but sort of the larger question of how did the aliens get there is just something that I really don't care about. And that's sort of a problem when Ridley Scott has said, I'm going to devote the rest of my life to telling you where the aliens came from.
Yeah.
That's a problem, right? That is just a structural problem. And it's funny. Maybe it's the name of the movie, but I expected this to sort of be its own thing and not as connected to Prometheus as it was. But it seems like Ridley Scott is pretty dead set on making this whole franchise about David and how he and how the aliens got to Ridley's spaceship. I don't know, man. I don't know how many more of those I'm down for. I mean, I get that it's cool to see people die in space, but I don't know, man. I don't feel like there's any answer that they can give us that'll make us be like, whoa, that was a ride.
Well, you know? Yeah. Well, no, and that's the thing is that I always liked the aliens more as just this thing that was out there in the universe that we never should have discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And who cares where they came from? Just leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They were always more terrifying to me because of that. And now that I know where they came from, I'm like, you know, I don't think that it's not as effective as it used to be anymore.
Sure.
It doesn't – but that's the thing. This doesn't ruin the previous Alien films, because like I said, those films were less concerned with establishing a universe. There's very little, in my opinion, there's not as much of a universe there. So,
well, that wasn't the point.
Exactly.
You just made a good movie.
Exactly.
In the 70s, you just made a movie.
Yeah.
And then if you got a sequel, it's because people saw it and they wanted more. So you made more and you figured out what you were going to do.
Yeah.
But you didn't plan like these massive, like these empires that you're going to build with $200 million budgets. That wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I don't know.
That's part of it. For sure.
Well, that's the new, you know, system that we're working with movies now.
So. It is. That's what we're getting.
It's a little, I don't know, it kind of sucks. It kind of sucks.
It's 100% true, and I guess that's my larger problem with Alien Covenant.
This is not as bad as The Phantom Menace, or do you?
No, I don't believe it. No, I don't think so at all.
No.
We'll get to the good in a second.
Yeah.
The larger sort of thematic implications of this, and this is how I read it, and this is part of the reason why I'm just not interested, is this... The obsession with origins and where we came from.
Yeah.
The obsession, and in many ways, sort of reflects our modern day Hollywood culture of origin stories. Like, we always need more. We always need to over-explain everything. Every superhero movie, you have to learn, you have to spend an hour of them becoming the superhero. And I'm sure this is a lot of what Ridley Scott is feeling too as he's making these things. This obsession with God. And this obsession with the aliens as a god metaphor, more specifically the engineers as a god from Prometheus as the gods.
Yep.
You know, I want to meet my maker. I want to figure out where we came from. David, don't you ever ask yourself where we came from? Guy Pierce at the beginning of this movie explicitly says, you know, I want to meet my maker. Perhaps this was the point of Alien all along. And Ridley Scott certainly believes that that is the case. But the idea of... I always took the alien as this is just a symbol for death, and it's inescapable. And when you let it loose on your spaceship, it's just going to kill everybody. And you can't fight death because death comes to everybody in one form or another. And I thought I was okay with that. And so now that we have to make this whole thing about, you know, a vengeful god that creates mankind and then wants to take it away, and whatever god David's supposed to play, I'm not really familiar with mythology at all. But whatever god he's supposed to represent,
I don't know.
You know,
maybe David.
Maybe David.
Well, not a god, but you know,
yes.
There's the statue at the beginning,
right?
Which is David. So,
right. You know. I don't care about any of that. And that's a problem because we're clearly getting more of this. He's not stopping. And there are some decent – like, I find David to be a fascinating character.
So do I.
And I think on his own, I think Fassbender plays the shit out of that role. I think he is off the chains in this movie. We'll talk about the scene between the two Fassbenders in a little bit. He's great, and I am interested in his journey. I just don't think I particularly care all that much about I don't care if Guy Pearce meets his maker or not. That makes no difference to me, you know?
I don't think anybody cares if Guy Pearce meets his maker, even though he did, and he was beat over the head with one of his creations.
Right.
Ha ha.
Yes. But I get it. It's like you're gonna look for some meaning to life, and at the end of the day, you're gonna find that there's nothing. Yeah. Like, that's the whole point, is that, you know, you're looking for God, and at the end of the day, you're gonna find the devil staring you right in the face, and that's it, and once you're dead, you're dead.
Yeah.
I get it. Fine. disinterested. You can do that in one movie. You know, give me a new take on this universe, because it is a brilliantly directed movie, just in terms of the visuals. I thought it was really compelling.
Yep.
I thought on the big screen it looked gorgeous. The way that it was lit, it had a little bit of an independent feel, sort of shot like a war movie at times. A lot of handheld, a lot of point of view shots.
Yes.
All really cool. I would like to see that same visual palette, though, somewhere else in that universe.
Mm-hmm.
We can still have the xenomorphs, but let's just try to tell a different story involving aliens that doesn't involve stupid people dying in space with one girl at the end.
Sure.
Is that fair?
Sure. Yeah. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like Alien 3, so. Oh, God. That's, well.
In fairness, I haven't seen Alien 3 and 4. I've not seen them. I've only seen Alien and Aliens.
You, well, for, I think for your, because that's, you know, the reasons you like the Alien series and reasons I like it so much are very prevalent in Alien 3, at least.
Sure.
Yeah. It's part of the reason why I have no issue with Newt and Hicks dying off, because I was like, yeah, it sucks, but to me it makes perfect sense.
Right.
Honestly.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But Resurrection's a piece of shit. Don't ever watch Resurrection.
What's the one where Ripley comes back as the alien?
She doesn't come back as an alien. She's like a half.
She's an alien.
Sort of. She has
what do you
acid.
Mean, sort of.
She has acid for blood, and but she's not like an alien.
She's a person.
She's a per. Yeah. That has.
Why does she have acid for blood?
Because
she. I thought her face was like on a big monster type looking thing. Like, it's just Ripley.
Yeah. Like, are you referring to the newborn? Which is this?
I don't
weird...
know what you're talking about. I don't know any of these words. Explain, sir.
The new. Okay. First of all, Alien Resurrection. Ripley is cloned. Like, okay. From alien, from blood that they found on Fury 161, which is the planet she's on in Alien 3,
yeah.
Which is in, let me remind you that Resurrection happens like 300 years after Alien 3, so I don't know how that works. But they cloned her because she had the alien inside of her, and they figured, oh, well, if the alien was inside her and it was growing inside of her, we can extract her blood, and maybe there'll be some sort of genetic code in that blood that also has the alien, so that we can take out the alien as we've cloned her and use it as a weapon.
Right. I like the self-surgery in this one. That one was pretty good. Like, that was a pretty cool scene.
Was it?
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that quite a bit. I enjoyed that science, if we're on the subject of science. Wow, okay. So, all right.
Back to Alien Covenant.
Let's stick with this for a second.
Okay.
You said that Alien... What about Alien 3? What I appreciate about the franchise, that it's just batshit insane? That it's just bonkers?
It's not bonkers, but you were saying something about, you know, how the alien is just this big metaphor for death, and how it just intrudes on our lives and there's nothing we can do to escape it. Mm-hmm. Like, that movie next to Alien, it captures that, I think, better than Aliens. Aliens is still a better movie.
Yes.
But that theme is much more prevalent in Alien 3, and it's actually kind of compelling, and I like it quite a bit.
Right.
Don't watch the theatrical, though. Watch the assembly cut.
Will do.
He's got mixed feelings on David Fincher, by the way.
By the way. There is nothing more annoying than when a film nerd tells you, don't watch the theatrical cut.
I know.
There is nothing more annoying. I can't tell you how many fucking nerds, after Batman and Superman's director's cut came out, they say, yo, dude, you gotta watch the one with 30 more minutes of Batman fighting Superman. That changes the whole thing. Let me tell you what Batman and Superman didn't need. More Batman and Superman. It needed less movie. It didn't need more movie. And nothing can convince me that adding more to that piece of shit can make it better. It infuriates me. And furthermore... I forget whose quote this is. Someone made – some comedian or something, or someone in film made this joke. The movie that you saw is the director's cut. The director's cut is the one that you saw in the theater. The director said, I'm good with that cut. Like, the director decided that's the cut.
What if I told you that that's not the case for Alien
3? I don't want to – oh, no, God. Well, I heard this – it's a crazy behind-the-scenes story, right?
David Fincher disowned the movie immediately after he was done with principal photography. Okay. He left. He didn't even bother sitting down to help edit the film. Wow. He just left. He's like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. because he hated the experience so much. And the closest thing we have to his vision is based on his notes that were lent to some of the people who were making the Alien quadrilogy. And we have an assembly cut based on David Fincher's notes for what he wanted to do. And it's the truest version of the film. It's still not entirely complete. Again, I'm still not entirely convinced that is a completed film in its entirety. But yeah, the assembly cut's the best thing we have. And I actually think it's an okay film.
Poor David Fincher. Just a kid trying to work in this big studio system.
Yeah, then he goes on to make fucking Seven and all these other bullshit. But no, Seven's amazing.
Gone Girl.
I like Gone Girl. I like Gone Another Girl. Day. I like Gone Girl
we'll
a lot.
Plenty of time.
Yeah.
We'll have plenty of
time. I think David Fincher has four tiebreakers for number one. That's how much I like David Fincher. You probably know exactly what they are.
Not enough of you. Not enough of you already. Here's the other problem with Alien Covenant. This is a complaint that I've seen all throughout the interwebs. Same problem with Prometheus.
Yeah.
The characters suck.
I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree with Prometheus. I agree with Alien Covenant.
Okay.
I like the characters in Prometheus quite a bit.
I think you're crazy. I think you're insane.
There's a few terrible characters in Prometheus, and it's just Milburn and Fifield who go away and they die by acting like idiots and touching space cobras.
Uh-huh.
I have an issue with them, but I have absolutely no problem with Idris Elba's character or even the supporting pilots for that matter. I think they were very charismatic and fun to be around, and I also like Noomi Rapace's character and David quite a bit.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You mean those two black holes of charisma? Like, they're the worst! What are you talking about? They're horrendous.
Wait, who's horrendous?
The two main characters. Naomi Rapace is the main chick, right?
Yeah.
That gets off. She's the final girl.
Yeah.
She's horrendous.
I loved her.
How about the douchey boyfriend's worse than her?
The douchey boyfriend's a problem. I'm not a big fan of him, but Noomi Rapace? I thought she was great.
You thought she was great?
Yeah.
Why didn't they bring her back for this then?
I don't know.
If she was great, they could have brought her back for this. I'm sure she's available.
I think that was partly to wipe away the slate of Prometheus.
Ah, well... Yes, and the protagonist of the film has nothing to do with it. She's horrendous, dude.
No, she's not.
She's so boring.
What are you talking about?
She's so boring.
I thought she was great.
And by the way, I'm sick of this whole trend of we have to recast Sigourney Weaver in every movie that we do. I'm sick of this. Why can't a man survive to the end?
Well, none I guess of these characters are as good as Ripley, but...
Of course not. No. Prometheus is a good cast. It's a better cast. Idris Elba is fun. Charlize is
she's okay.
I wouldn't call it peak Charlize. I love me some Theron in my life. You know, so I'm a big fan.
As do I.
I'm a big fan. Yeah. Not a big fan of her in this one.
Fate of the Furious guys.
Well, obviously. Can't escape fate. No matter how hard you drive, Toretto. Can't escape fate.
Keep going.
Who else is in that one?
Prometheus?
Yeah.
What the hell is her name? Well, is his name Logan Marshall Green? He's right. The one you don't like.
Yeah.
And fucking Guy Pearce and Michael Fassbender.
Fassbender's great.
Yeah.
Fassbender's great in everything. Yeah. He makes awful choices. He needs to get out of these movies. He needs to pull Ridley aside and say, listen, I'll give you one more. And then I'm done.
Yeah.
Because he's the only man that can, like, kill it.
He's very good.
He's the best part of it.
He's awesome.
You have to use your powers for good, not evil, Michael Fassbender. Like, that's my problem with him. I thought Billy Crudup was really good in this.
Yes, so did I. That's another one.
Man, that's a guy that I've forgotten is good in things.
Yeah.
I totally forgot Billy. I'm a huge fan of Almost Famous. I don't know if...
Haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Almost Famous is awesome. And he's a kid in that. I mean, he's young. He's a tween. Yeah. Really good in that. And has popped up in little roles along the way. And I thought he was just excellent in this, you know?
Yeah, so did I.
As was, the main girl was all right. I've never seen her in anything.
Okay,
before.
See.
What is she from?
I don't know. I thought she was, now this is someone who's lacking any sort of charisma, by the way.
We should look up the names.
Catherine Waterston.
There we go.
Yeah. You thought she was okay?
I thought she was fine. I thought she was okay.
Better than Noomi Rapace?
Yes.
Fuck you. You're wrong. You're wrong, but okay.
I think so.
On what level?
She
does nothing the entire... She mopes around and looks sad because James Franco died in the opening sequence. And that's it. That is it, Nico.
It's not that she's better than Naomi Pace. It's that Naomi Pace is not good. You know? It's that I actively dislike Naomi Rapace, and I was all right with her in this. I thought she was okay.
So you have a bias against
I don't like Numi Rapace. I don't like her. I don't like her, Adam. I don't get it. I'm not a fan of the "you gotta have faith." You know, I'm not a fan of it.
Are we are we blaming Numi Rapace or the screenwriters?
Well, whatever. Well, I'm just not. I don't like it. I'm not a fan. I don't like it. I don't like her character. And this character, although her motivations were probably even thinner than Naomi Pace's motivations.
Numi Rapace.
Naomi Rapace. Naomi Rapace. I don't know. I just found myself a little less annoyed, and that's all. And I wouldn't mind if they brought her back for the next one.
Okay.
I'll be totally honest with you. But
sure.
Anyway, what was the other guy?
I didn't hate her.
Eastbound and Down. Eastbound and Down. What's
Danny McBride?
Danny McBride. He was good.
Yeah.
He was pretty good. They let him survive to the end.
Yeah.
That's a first for these movies.
Is there any, besides David, though, this is the bigger issue I have with Alien Covenant. Are there any, like, real compelling characters other than David
and because
I guess Walter with a certain dynamic
even if he has to be paired
with David, so
because good old Ridley's only interested in David,
yeah,
and that's what it's becoming very clear to me.
Well,
and that wasn't clear to me during Prometheus.
No,
and I don't even know if that was his plan all along. What I liked about Prometheus is the subtlety to the fact that David was a sociopath,
yeah,
and there were little hints at it that it didn't just slap you in the face with all of that. This one, he went full Breaking Bad.
Exactly.
And that I kind of liked.
Yes.
But it's very clear that he only cares about this vengeful cyborg character.
At this point, anyway. Because he's even said that the reaction to Prometheus influenced what happened with Alien Covenant. What we inevitably got. And the fact that there is a xenomorph in it.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay.
So that should tell you quite a bit. I kind of wish he'd brought back Numi Rapace in this one. Yeah.
He killed her off.
He did.
We should talk some spoilers here.
Yeah. We've done spoilers, aren't we?
Yeah, it's too late now. Where do we want to? Okay. Here, I'll save that to the end. Let's talk about this scene with David and Walter.
There's two scenes though. I don't know. The flute scene is pretty.
The flute scene is what we're talking about here.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So there are some weird homoerotic sort of undertones to this whole thing.
And I warned you before going into this.
You told me.
You're going to get some good homoerotic stuff in this one.
Yes.
Some good stuff.
And it paid off. I don't really know what the point of it was, and I'm still trying to grapple with it because it is a pretty hilarious scene. And it's a scene that you gotta think the screenwriters knew what they were doing when they included the line, "You blow and I'll do the fingering." You know, like that is in the scene. David is teaching Walter how to play the flute, and it's very phallic and it's very sensual, and there's a lot of touching involved, and all the way up to "you do the fingering." I will say this: I don't know what your experience was in the movie theater, but audible laughter all around me.
Really?
Yes.
No one was laughing.
Wow. No, there was some dude who was like in the top row with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend was like trying to shut him up like that.
Yep.
But he loved the line, and that made me laugh even harder. So this was for comedy. Like, this was straight up, this was a well-executed comedic scene in my movie theater.
I would hope, it's just, if I were to read that anyway, I'd be like, we have to say that? Really? You blow the flute, I'll do the fingering?
Yes. Yes.
Come on, Ridley.
So sexy.
Like, please tell me this is supposed to be a little sensual.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think that was the case.
I hope so.
Anyway. And I think there's some sort of satiric stuff going on.
It's okay to have some sexual themes in Alien because, you know, the original Alien. I mean, if you want to, it's sexual in all the wrong ways, though, because it's about rape and all that other fucked up shit.
Sure.
So, yeah. I'm fine with some sexual stuff in Alien. It's a good thing.
I love that scene. Yeah. I love the whole dynamic between them. I mean, I just love David as a character.
Yes, again. Thank God this movie has David. Otherwise. Yes.
I'm glad that he's wreaking havoc. And I'm glad, to a certain extent, that this trilogy or whatever, however many they're making, is sort of being steered into that direction. And I would much rather learn more about David than any of these other characters. Yeah. So in that respect, he's on the right track here.
Okay.
Again, do I need to see more of these CGI engineer characters? Like, I don't really care about them all that. What are they? They call them the engineers, right?
The engineers. But in, like, it for alien nerd, what's the terminology? We just call them space jockeys. We call them space jockeys, okay. Nico, okay?
When were the space jockeys as a concept introduced?
The very first Alien. As a concept or, like as a broader concept?
Yeah, when was the first sign of them?
The first time we see them is in the original Alien.
When?
When they go onto the derelict ship and then they find the skeleton in the chair and it's got a, you know, it's... You know,
okay, right.
It's got a hole in its chest, but we won't learn it's not a skeleton. It was a suit in Prometheus.
Right. So, yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah, I don't like them.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of them. And I don't care when they get slaughtered by David. I don't care when he weaponizes... Here's the thing. The aliens as a weapon really confuses me. It seems very inefficient because you rain it down upon whatever population you want to exterminate, and then you just got a bunch of aliens running around everywhere. Now that seems like, you know what I mean?
Then you just kill you. What you do, you put a little Kingsman device, like, in the neck, and then you just blow it up.
Yeah.
Right? Because it is that volatile, so you'd have to kill it afterwards, right?
Yeah.
But it's efficient. They do the job, don't they?
I just feel like, I don't know, Agent Orange. It's a much easier way of doing it.
But aliens are cooler, Nico.
Aliens are really cool. And the aliens in this movie were really, really cool.
Yes.
I thought some of these death sequences...
The backburster sequence is wonderful.
Oh,
it's so great. Oh, I love so it disturbing. So much.
No, like, it was some good ass shit. And
it was awesome.
It made me nostalgic for the old days of Alien, where, again, it was cool to see the alien kill people.
Yeah.
Because I didn't feel any of that in Prometheus. I just thought it was all pretty stupid.
No, Prometheus is better than Alien Covenant, Nico.
Oh, God.
It is. It's a better movie.
Sell me.
Yeah,
so I'm listening.
It's a much more balanced film. It knows exactly what it wants to be. It's not confused like I think Alien Covenant kind of.
Prometheus knows what it wants
to be. Yes, I think it knows exactly what it wants to be. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Prometheus knows what it wants to be? That thing was riddled with, like, behind-the-scenes drama.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. The scripting, they had to bring Damon Lindelof in for, like, massive rewrites.
Like,
that was, like, a bit, no, they could not figure out how to end that thing.
I'm pretty sure they figured it out pretty easily.
No, they figured it out pretty horribly is what happened. No, I'm telling... No, they brought Damon Lindelof in after the fact to do a lot of cleanup work on it. Damon Lindelof was not originally a part of the script.
Are you confusing this with the Alien 3 behind the scenes?
No, I'm not...
Because I've seen the behind the scenes for Prometheus. It wasn't that dramatic.
From what I understand, Damon Lindelof was brought in after the fact. And that's why he got so much flack. Mm-hmm. From those on Twitter. He was sort of the scapegoat.
Yeah.
You know, when everybody hated Prometheus, and people hated Prometheus, including myself. And I remember Damon Lindelof said in an interview that I saw after the fact, when a movie is good, the director gets all the praise. When a movie is bad, the writer gets all the flack for it. Mm-hmm. And they never get their moment in the spotlight, and they, unless you're like Aaron Sorkin or something, you don't get any credit when the movie is good. I don't think, by the way, Damon Lindelof is a bad writer by any stretch of the imagination. He made Lost, and I am forever indebted to that. But, Star Wars prequel vibes. And I got it the whole way.
Oh, boy.
And in Covenant, I felt a little more nostalgic. Although Covenant, let me put it this way. Let me give you a metaphor you'll understand. I felt like Prometheus was Phantom Menace. I felt like Covenant was The Force Awakens. Force Awakens was a fairly standard story. It was note for note exactly like Episode 4, but it was made in the same spirit and style. What are you doing?
I'm looking under the tip because I'm not listening.
Are you looking at my underwear? It was made with the same sort of spirit and style as the original film. Nothing particularly unique about it, but I felt nostalgic for a finer time in this franchise.
Prometheus felt more like Alien to me than Alien Covenant.
You are high. You are high out of your mind. What are you talking about?
Everything about it felt more
What
like
are you
alien
talking about? The last fight sequence was between this CGI like avatar character. What was it? Come on, dude.
CGI avatar character.
There was no alien. There was no alien in the original. I mean, there were aliens, but there was no xenomorph until the post-credit sequence.
It was the tone and the atmosphere and the world building in that case that made me feel more nostalgic toward the original Alien.
I cannot believe
I didn't really get that in Alien Covenant.
I cannot believe what I'm hearing. Wow.
Even with the xenomorph stuff, which felt very tacked on, by the way.
What do you mean?
It just happens. It just, boom, xenomorph, there you go, take it.
Well, yeah.
That's basically it. I'm like, aren't you establishing a prequel series? Aren't you supposed to, like, give attention to the fact that you just made a fucking xenomorph?
Still an alien movie, though.
I don't care.
I mean, the xenomorph still has to kill people. Like, that's...
Yes.
We've established...
So, write a few more scenes that establish that better.
Listen, we agree on this. This is not the story that we want to see told by Ridley Scott in this universe.
It's not my preferred story, but I, like I said, I'm interested enough. But I, again, I have plenty of mixed feelings on it.
If we are going to say Ridley Scott make a movie about xenomorphs killing people,
yeah,
this is the version of that story that I want, which is hyper-violent, very disturbing, a lot of muted tones, very gray.
Which I don't like, by the way.
I'm into it here. I'm into it here. Mm. Scary, thrilling, just throw everything on the screen and just see what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of that, I had a good time. I wasn't bored, and I enjoyed myself for the 2 hours. Mm. And that's about it. And if you want to do all your God metaphor stuff with your psychopathic robot, I'm cool with that too.
Mm-hmm.
But don't take away – that's the thing. That stuff took away from the horror of Prometheus. This one did not seem like it was confused about what direction it wanted to go in.
Really?
To me, this felt like we're just going to make a classic alien movie. And we've seen it before, but this is franchise filmmaking now.
Hold on. You thought that they were trying to make a classic alien film throughout the first hour and a half?
Yes. I thought so. I mean, the original...
It's not.
The xenomorph blows up the ship within the first half hour.
Well, the neomorphs blow up the ship. They're called neomorphs.
Take this. See this? I want this in your rectum within the next 30 seconds. Because I want you to shove it there. I'll shove it there for you. Neomorphs?
Yes, the white ones, they're called neomorphs. Oh, God, okay?
I hate you so much.
The black,
I hate about life.
The cool black one at the end that, you know, had the little mouth tongue that we refer to as the alien in the Alien series.
Yes.
That was the xenomorph.
You're the worst person.
Although there is some fan theories that was not a xenomorph, Nico, that it could be what we call a protomorph.
I could not be less interested. Let's talk about James Franco. Let's talk about something I actually am interested in.
What do you want to talk about with James Franco? We have very important to the movie, by the way. Very important. Very important.
You warned me that this cameo, because it is a cameo.
Yeah, it is.
Was going to confuse me.
Yeah.
You warned me. You said, hell, James Franco in this movie. Oh, what a doozy. Right? And yeah. I went into it thinking, all right, when's James Franco going to show up? And my question was answered fairly quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the second scene of the movie, the spaceship is hit by a solar flare, essentially.
Basically.
This is a spaceship carrying 2,000 passengers and a bunch of fetuses, and they are going to colonize a new planet.
Mm-hmm.
And on route, the solar flare hits the ship, and a lot of people die in their little their long nap pods. Yeah. Their really long siesta pods, people. Whatever yeah. they call them.
Siesta pods?
Yeah, siesta pods.
That's the actual term they use in the
that's
movie.
That's what it is. Yeah. One of the first – no, the only person that we see die is James Franco.
Yes.
And he dies. You can't even really tell it's him. I knew it because I was looking for him in the movie. Yeah. I could tell that it was him right away.
Yeah.
But the person that I was at the theater with who didn't know that he was in the movie didn't realize it was James Franco.
Really?
But it's a guy just okay. – he's asleep in the pod and he's trying to get out. And you can sort of – because the face is through warped glass essentially. James Franco just bursts into flames.
Yeah.
And he dies within the first 5 minutes of this movie. Doesn't get a speaking part until there's sort of a flashback sequence in which our main character – forget your name again.
Catherine Waterston.
Daniels.
What's her name?
Exactly the problem. See, you don't remember any of these characters' names.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Elizabeth Shaw. That was Noomi Rapace's character.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, see, I remember that.
Shut up.
Vickers. There's another one. Oh, yeah.
You're the worst person.
Chance was the name of one of the co-pilots.
The rapper?
Yeah, no. Yes. I like Chance the Rapper, kind of. I like one song by him, actually.
Only one?
Yeah, that's about it.
We can have a Chance the Rapper podcast one day. Because I adore Chance the Rapper. What's your favorite Chance the Rapper song?
It's Cocoa Butter Kisses, obviously. Really? Cocoa Butter Kisses.
Really? Have you heard the new album?
No.
Okay, well, that's why. You love the new album. Oh, glorious. Glorious. anyway, our main character is watching some home videos, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's of James Franco climbing a mountaintop. I have a theory for you.
Okay.
My theory is that's a real James Franco home video. and they were just like... James Franco was hanging around set one day, and he wanted to be the character that blows up in the pod. Because, I don't know, he was shooting The Disaster Artist or something.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. And so they just put him in the movie, and then they're like, hey, James, you have any, like, cool home videos that we can use to add some ethos to some pathos to the movie? And they just have him climbing a mountaintop, and that was sent to his girlfriend at the time.
I would believe it.
Yeah, I would.
The budget of this movie was under $100 million, believe it or not. So yeah.
This is so bizarre.
Yes. I didn't get this.
It's bizarre enough that you, and this happens every once in a while, that you write in a character to your movie that dies immediately and you're expected to care about them.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen this in, I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, but this happens quite a bit where it's like all of a sudden the movie was about, or the motivations was about a guy that you never met, and so we're expected to care about him, and it just does a bad job. Just horrible exposition.
It happens in Rogue One with the Jyn Erso's mom dying quick.
Sure.
And I was just like, I just met her. I don't care.
Right. You know? Exactly. Exactly.
So I have to feel more sympathy for Jyn now. I keep going.
So that's bad enough. The fact that you cast James Franco in that role. And the thing is, James Franco is clearly the biggest star in the movie. By far. There's no, I mean, Fassbender is pretty famous these days, but other than that, he has the biggest star power of anybody in this cast.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
The fact that you would cast someone that distractingly famous in a role that means nothing is so weird, but I kind of love it. Because it just made it, and maybe this is part of the comedy of it, maybe he did this on purpose, but that shot where you see the picture of the entire crew and James Franco is in the middle just like doing like a, you know, like, oh, I'm the fun-loving captain of this ship. But, you know, in hindsight, the fact that we were meant to care about James Franco is hilarious to me.
I don't think it was supposed to be funny.
Okay.
I don't, because they had these little like prologue clips that they were putting out all over YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And he's in a few of them, I guess. And
oh, really?
They're just not in the movie. I thought they were going to be in the movie.
Okay.
And then I saw, I was like, what about those scenes that I saw on YouTube? I thought, what? I want to see those.
So you think it was after the fact they decided to scrap a lot of the stuff they had with him?
Yeah. I think
that's
there's
so weird.
That's another reason why I have so many, why I'm like mixed to positive on Alien Covenant.
Uh-huh.
Because I think there's a lot of clear studio meddling going on here.
Sure.
Or post-process that was just fucked up. It seems more apparent to me in this than Prometheus.
It doesn't feel like he executed exactly what vision he wanted to execute,
yes,
in fairness. And that could just be the fact that he is in his older age now and kind of lost his fastball.
But like I said, he just made The Martian.
Right.
Made The Martian. The Martian is fucking awesome.
Yes.
I love The Martian.
And a real throwback, just entertaining, just actor showcase for Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Just like, we're going to take a guy with a lot of charisma, and we're going to give him a really simple story, and it's just going to be entertaining for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. That's true. I'm so mixed on Ridley Scott, and he's an interesting filmmaker to study, and maybe we should talk about him more in the future.
Yeah.
I
could talk for hours about Blade Runner,
sure,
even though I'm not sure you would want to.
Well, we'll get a chance to talk about it in November when Blade Runner 2049 comes out. I am also excited for that one.
Yeah.
But I'm confused. I'm confused where we're going. I'm confused what the whole point of all of this is. I was entertained again by the alien stuff, but beyond that, I really don't care all that much.
Mm.
And I hope someone cares. There's got to be somebody out here that is really interested to see, like, you know, what the deal with the engineers is.
But I care enough. There is a fan base like me out there who's like, I am a kind of a diehard fan of the Alien series, but I'm not an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I know where the cutoff is, and, you know, there's Resurrection, and if we want to consider the fucking Alien versus Predator movies, those are there too, even though the first one's kind of fun. Not a good movie, but it's fun.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I'm cautious. I'm not really hating on it. I don't think this is hitting the depths that, like, the Star Wars prequel trilogy does, where I feel like those prequels almost taint the originals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's happening here. It's just...
Yeah, I don't think that is either.
Yeah, they're just expanding, and it's where they're going is I'm not as compelled by it as I would like to be. It's serviceable right now, but if they seriously fuck up, like if they say, like, I don't know, like the xenomorph is related to E.T., that would be a problem.
I'm in for that. Well, I'm in.
Maybe I would be okay with
phone
that.
Home, motherfucker.
That would be interesting.
I just kind of want to see Ridley Scott take more risks at this point in their career.
Yeah.
I want to see him do a George Miller thing. And I really, I mean, George Miller should be the standard for every aging filmmaker out there. Like, it should just be, I'm in my old age now. I've made all my money. I have done all the crowd-pleasing shit. I've made enough movies for the studios. Now it's time to make a movie for me. Yep. And to just go crazy with it and make something like Mad Max Fury Road. David Lynch is doing the same thing right now on television with Twin Peaks. Yep. That is a bizarre show that all I want to do is talk about, but no one in my life has seen it. It is pissing me off.
I still haven't seen
Listen, if you are watching this video right now and you want to talk to me about Twin Peaks, I will give you my personal phone number and I will call you and we'll talk about Twin Peaks because that's all I want to talk about in life. It's incredible. I want to see Ridley Scott do the same thing. Yeah. And it doesn't feel like he's doing that, and it feels like at this point we found a formula. And this is maybe just par for the course with Hollywood. Yeah. The box office returns were not good on Covenant. No.
Which is very upsetting for me. I do want to see another one, believe it or not, even though with all my criticisms, ultimately I did find myself enjoying it enough. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm sort of mixed to positive on Alien Covenant.
Sure.
But I would like to see another one. I'm going in circles here, but I am interested enough to see where this is going. I don't totally dislike it. I'm like, okay. Let's see.
Franchises are in a weird place, too, these days. Pirates of the Caribbean 5 bombed. Baywatch bombed. Guardians did
not. No! Baywatch bombed? No.
Can you believe it? Can you believe it? A rare miss. A belly flop, really, for Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
Listen, maybe this will be a positive thing for everybody. Maybe the studios, and I hope I say this every year when a good, like, independent film comes out.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like they're learning their lesson. But maybe, like, you can see Get Out and how well that movie did on a shoestring budget and, like, make more of those movies. And then stop, you know, killing a bunch of stupid people in space over and over again.
Yeah,
you know, maybe take more risks. Yeah. Maybe, just maybe that's what people respond to. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird thought.
I feel like, yeah, Ridley Scott, you played it a little safe.
Yes.
A little safe. You know, and you made a very predictable movie. That's another thing I didn't talk about.
Right. The ending was so predictable.
As like, yeah, I know.
That was...
I know David was... killed Walter there.
So much so that when you saw that his... So they... Here's what I thought they were doing. I thought it was going to be a fake out. And they went in and they were like, oh, this is clearly David because the way that they cut it and the way that David's just running out to the ship at the last minute.
Yeah.
Oh, they made the switch there. Then they show his hand cut off as to sort of to squash all those suspicions. And I was still even sitting there like, oh, we cut his hand off.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, that's not enough. The scars were a little perfect. I was like, maybe, but still, I'll still bet all the money I own that – that's stupid.
Yes.
That was stupid. Yes. Yeah. No, all the money that I have that fuck you. That is still David. Because, yeah.
Stupid
I was,
bet, too. Why are you betting on the outcome of an Alien movie? Well, no, 100%. It was a predictable ending. And I guess a coolish ending. I mean, again, I'm interested to
it's
see.
It's weird.
I want more of David. I want more of David. There's no question.
Oh, yeah, me too. Birthing up the facehuggers, I was like.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, here's the thing. Even when this movie is predictable, though, it's at least effective and it's satisfying.
Sure.
Like, because even the shower.
It's horror. It's good horror. Yeah. The man knows how to make a horror movie. Yeah. That's just, that's what it is.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Even the shower stuff. It's like, oh, what is this, Friday the 13th? But then when they actually did it, I was like, I kind of like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Effective.
Yeah.
Really effective. The fight scene also at the beginning where the guy's face gets, like, chopped
off. Oh, the jaw just gets, oh. It's good stuff.
It's the suspension of disbelief with some of these characters doing really stupid things. I mean, it's getting a little out of control these days. You know what I mean?
You can make it work, though. Okay, and here's another
Billy
thing.
Billy Crudup looking into the fucking... Oh, don't worry. It's safe. After you saw this guy, like, pet an alien like his steed.
But here's the thing. Is it weird that I kind of bought that?
No, I didn't.
I was like...
Oh, it's weird. Yes, it's weird.
I was like, I don't know. Something about his character just makes me think, like, I kind
you
of...
trust him?
I kind of... No. I kind of buy that he would do something like that, is what I was saying. It's stupid, but I was like, you know... This guy having that much faith? You know what? Sure.
That's true. He's a man of faith. They did set that up earlier. Yeah. That's a good, excellent point. Yeah. Another stupid move is the woman at the beginning locking the girl in the medical bay and then letting her out, you know, only to see her die and then the alien come after you and almost kill you. Like, come on, man. Like, commit.
Well, she locked her in there and it's just the alien broke out.
Right.
Yeah, that's what happened.
But she went back in there, though.
Yeah,
run the fuck away.
But then she closed it again. Yeah,
if you're not going to save her originally, just get the fuck away.
Yeah.
Whatever.
People. Well, again, here's the thing. You can do movies, and we were just talking about indie films and whatnot, and how Sometimes I kind of like it when characters do stupid things. Like, Green Room does this, like, brilliantly. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons I like Green Room so much is because the characters act the way someone like me or you would actually act in a situation like that. And it's all the more interesting and intense because
right.
of that.
Right.
I love it.
Very true. Have you seen I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore?
That's the Macon Blair movie. Yes. That's I want to see it.
Okay.
Because Jeremy Saulnier and Macon Blair are like best buds. I really
watch it. Maybe we'll do a podcast about it one day.
I got to see it. By the way, Hold the Dark has finished production or principal photography. Yeah. That's Saulnier's next movie.
That's the one I can't wait. Alaska or something?
He's yeah.
Macon one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's so I'm a big Saulnier fan.
Frozen Tundra.
Yeah.
I'm into it. I'm into Saulnier in the snow. Let's do it. All right. Yes. That's it. There we go, Adam. Movie hopping. Ridley. Take some more chances, baby.
Yeah.
Like we are each and every week on this very show. It's a new endeavor. I thought this went all right. How'd you feel?
It was good. It was good. Good. We're still a little close here.
Yeah, and he's been playing footsies with my balls.
Well.
All show. It's a little uncomfortable. It's time for you to stop. This was a lot of fun. We will be back next week to talk about some other movie. Maybe it's a woman that does wonderful things. Who knows?
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Who are you talking about?
Women that do wonderful things.
I don't know.
It's a lot of wonder. You're going to be in wonder when you watch this woman. You know?
Batman?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, whatever.
Exactly. maybe we'll talk about that next week. Go to TooManyThoughtsMedia.com, TMT.media, all those other things for more Too Many Thoughts related pieces of content. Subscribe to this here YouTube channel. Watch Cultured. It's my other video show that I do. Man, so many shows, too many shows, I might say.
Too many shows?
Too many thoughts.
Too many thoughts.
That's right. Have a good one, and until next time, happy movie hopping. I just come up with that now. Pretty good, right?
Yes.
Pretty good catchphrase.
Like it. Yeah. It works.